I do think it's more than just a matter of, okay, open up your mind to other perspectives. That can be important. That plays a role. But I don't think that the worldview significance of good, effective, visually compelling missionary maps, I don't think the point is just to upset people's realities or kind of explode their view of reality. I think it's their job to refine our view of reality. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined again for another riveting ride down the river of missiology with Scott W. Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. Thank you for joining us. If you're listening in your favorite podcast app, you know by now that your positive ratings and reviews can help other people discover this content and maybe even be mobilized into action. And so remember to leave those for us. Also, if you're on YouTube, go ahead and smash the like button, smash the subscribe button as well, and also leave us a comment. What is your most favorite, useful, go-to reference guide for missiological information, geographic information, if you're someone who's looking at maps of your mission field or demographic breakdowns of your mission field? What is your one-stop shop? Where do you go? Let us know in the comments section. Or if you are a premium subscriber, let us know in the group chat. We'd love to have you join that premium community at missionspodcast.com/premium. Now, why do I ask that question, Scott? Well, because today we're discussing an important topic. We're talking about the importance of worldview. And we know that how you view the world affects everything, your moral system, your priorities, your values in life, how you spend your money, what you do on a Sunday morning with respect to worship. There's so many parts of life. Every single part of life is affected by your worldview. The term gets overused, but it's still an important concept. But this week, Scott, I want to talk literally about our worldview, our literal view of planet Earth. And, you know, it's something we can take for granted in this day and age where we have Google Earth, we have Google Maps, we have all of these tools readily available to us. But Scott, think back to the time of NASA first releasing that photo, the blue marble. And there was something interesting about the photo, the way it was released, at least in the folklore that I'm told that the way it was first released was maybe not quite what people expected.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is I forgot about this until you brought it up. And I don't know if it's true or not, but when the photo was first viewed, the world looked upside down from the perspective of the astronauts. So of course, what did they have to do so it wouldn't freak out everybody back at home? They had to reverse the image or flip the image so that it wasn't right side up. Because if we look at the world from a different perspective, it kind of throws everything off. And I came across an article in Evangelical Missions Quarterly by a guy named, I hope I'm saying his name right, but being from Wisconsin, I'm just going to lean into the, you know, into the Norwegian, I guess, David Oninkink, who writes an article called "To the Ends of the Earth, How to Translate the Gospel into Maps." Now, I personally didn't agree with everything in the article, but he certainly starts bringing up some ideas. And one of the that are worth talking about, I should say. And one of the things he says is take any website of a missionary society and there's bound to be a map. Maps are visually attractive and picture comprehensively the graphical focus of missions. However, as Brad Gill wrote, essentially all maps are wrong. So first of all, I ask you the question, why do missionaries love maps so much? Because everywhere I go in the missionary world, someone's got a map on their wall. In fact, I was just looking at maps recently to put on the back of my wall, and now I kind of feel bad about it. And what do you think of that statement? All maps are wrong.
Well, I don't think you need to feel bad about it. I guess I never thought about it.
I just don't want to be so cliche, but yeah, go ahead.
Well,
I do love maps.
You already are, I'm sure, in some ways. I'm sure I am too. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe it gives us this sense that I think we should have, which is, you know, that the Lord holds all of the nations of the world in his hand, that he's sovereign over all of it. He sees all of it. The famous John Stott quote, we should be global Christians because our God is a global God. I think there's real truth to that. That doesn't mean that our immediate sphere of influence doesn't matter. The book of Proverbs says, you know, in some sense, a fool's eyes are on the ends of the earth. So we don't want to think about things we can't control, but we should also love and care about the whole course of the human race and the planet, because that's what our God is working with in redemptive history. So maybe it's a reminder of that. Maybe it's something deeper than that. I remember years ago creating, and I've dabbled in graphic design through the years, but I created this kind of old timey cartographer looking map, showing the world with this kind of antique atlas feel, with the 1040 window highlighted. And the limitations of the program that I was using at the time, I was trying to make things fit into the dimensions. It actually didn't turn out very well, and it was kind of stretched in an unrealistic way. So I displayed it in our home for a little while. I eventually took it down. I had a family member recently say to me, oh, like, where's that map? I'd love to see that map. And of course, I'm like, you don't want to see that. There's better versions of that that you can find online. But it did remind me, you know, even the concept of seeing a map of the 1040 window is mind-blowing for some people. In fact, not everyone knows even what that is. I was on a podcast a few weeks ago and had to describe what is the 1040 window. I throw that term around as though we all understand what it is. Maybe, Scott, as we dive in, I mean, even familiarize us with that. It's not just that missionaries are into maps. It's that there's a particular view of the world that missionaries tend to have.
I think back to that quote, you know, of all maps are wrong, you know, in one sense, not all maps are right, of course, either. But like, you look at that picture of the globe, you know, from the missionaries or from the astronauts perspective, it made me think of that song From a Distance. You're probably too young for it, but anyone my age or older will remember. It was huge by Bette Midler. And she talks about, you know, like, from a distance, the world is blue and green and it's harmony and everything's perfect. And God's watching us from a distance. Well, the problem with that understanding is that it's not true. You know, like one, of course, God is seeing us close up. But the Earth, even from the astronaut's perspective, is missing something really important. And that is the people, you know, that make up our world. And so maps are telling a story. And missionaries have really always been about that, you know, from a missionary like David Livingston, who does really important work of map making, you know, even the role of maps on someone like William Carey, who was inspired reading travel stories and looking at maps of the nations of the world, and inspired him to think about the people of the world and their need for the gospel. And so there is a really important part of that, but how we view the map is really important too. Like, in some maps, you know, America in the Northern Hemisphere is very large, and then Africa is unusually small. You know, Greenland's massive and Africa is small. Well, you know, I don't think that they're necessarily like some kind of like vast conspiracy to make Africa less.
I personally think that's silly.
Nor is there a conspiracy to make the Russia or the Soviet Union abnormally large. I just think that was one way of projecting a globe onto a flat surface. But certainly it does shape our understanding of things, you know, and where things are in relation to each other. You know, is Alaska and Russia very far, or actually they're very close to each other?
Can Sarah Palin really see Russia from her backyard? We inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, especially when you look at a map at how very close Juneau is from. Wait, no, they're not very close.
They're closer than I am from here in Pennsylvania, though.
Sure, that's true. But back to the question, like the 1040 window, like, I can remember, and actually the beauty of this story is that it's actually an ABWE mobilizer that was the first person to introduce me to the 1040 window when I was in college.
Introduce that in case someone doesn't know the concept.
Yeah. So back in college, Don Trott was let onto Northland's campus. First and only time that I know of that ABWE was allowed on campus. And if you know where I went to school and why, that would be interesting. But I remember him putting up on the screen the map of the 1040 window, which is this map between 10 degrees and 40 degrees on the map longitude, and And basically, though, within that map contains the majority of the least reached peoples in the world. And, you know, basically looking at North Africa all the way to India and this massive density of people, and making the case of how many billions of people live within this window of the globe, and then contrasting that with where most missions is taking place. And, you know, for the first time seeing that, it blew my mind. You know, it really stirred something inside of me seeing something like that visually. And so I do think maps matter. You know, I do think maps capture our imagination. I do think maps in missions can be so helpful in some of that. So I want to put it back to you, Alex. What are some of the ways that a map, like even the 1040 window, is highlighting that part of the world can be helpful? In what ways do you think that it could be limiting?
Well, you know, I think you're right. I think every way of visually representing the world is telling a certain story. I don't think that every map is wrong. I think that every map is accurate insofar as it realistically portrays what it's seeking to communicate, but you can have different maps that are portraying different things and emphasizing different realities. So a typical map of the 1040 window, I'm sure we'll have one on screen here too throughout our discussion if you're someone who's watching the show, is representing the Middle East, North Africa, South Asia, all those areas of the world that you mentioned. The biggest thing that it does for me is just make me realize what immense need there is there compared to, you know, there's real spiritual need here, yes, but what this part of the world, referring to the United States for me, which I call home, and I wouldn't want to call any other place home, is still a place where the gospel is present. You can't deny that the gospel is present here. Is it as present as we want it to be? Of course, it never is. But it casts the need into stark relief. I've seen other maps, and these are out there on the web as well, where you'll see different countries or regions enlarged or shrunk down, depending on either the size of the population itself or the number of unreached people that are there. And then you'll realize places like India and Nepal and Pakistan and Bangladesh and Indonesia, these very populous, unreached places are huge compared to other places of the world that are relatively small. So again, it changes your perspective. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And I do think communicating in these visual ways is important for giving us a worldview, literally an accurate way of viewing the globe. Some of them are maybe more helpful than others. We've seen versions of maps that rather than having the Americas to the left and the old world and Africa and Asia and whatnot on the right, switch those around and do so for kind of the point of saying like, look, the world is not centered around the West. Technically, there's other nations that if you were from any one of these other places, you would, you know, basically say it's us and then the rest of the world, right? Everyone tends to have that geographically centric or maybe ethnocentric worldview by default until it's challenged. And, you know, that's a fair point to make, but I do think it's more than just a matter of, okay, open up your mind to other perspectives. That can be important. That plays a role. But I don't think that the worldview significance of good, effective, visually compelling missionary maps, I don't think the point is just to upset people's realities or kind of explode their view of reality. I think it's their job to refine our view of reality. You mentioned William Carey. It wasn't just about deconstructing what he and his countrymen would have thought about the world as they saw it at the time. It wasn't about that at all. It was about opening up their perspective to the fact, the hard reality, that for as far as the gospel had gone in their day and age, there were dark parts of the world, spiritually speaking, that still hadn't seen the light of the gospel. So I don't think it's useful, whether it's this article or anything else, I don't think it's useful to just disassemble and deconstruct someone's view and say, oh, well, you're informed by this assumption or that assumption. Sure. Okay. We all are. Everyone's view is conditioned by something culturally. That's inescapable. But what's the new reality or truth that you want to highlight for people? Here's something else to consider, Scott. You know, we tend to create these maps that highlight the places of greatest need or most lostness, that is a pessimistic view. I wonder, what if we were to emphasize the places where the gospel has flourished and kind of contrast that with, oh, look, here's this corner over here where it hasn't flourished. Maybe you've seen, there's YouTube videos of this. I'm sure we can pull up a visual of that as well, but maps showing the progress over time of the spread of Christianity, both pre and during and post Christendom. And you see it grow gradually, and you see, you know, there's, it'll expand and then it'll contract. Okay. You know, here's the rise of Islam. Okay. We just lost, you know, this part of the world, but then we regain this part over here. You see that. And then over time you go into the modern era and it's on every continent and it's continuing to grow, and you project into the future. Christianity is projected to continue to grow in all of these places. That's a very optimistic look at the world, not a pessimistic look at the world. So, you know, even the visuals that we use do tend to inform our outlook on what God's doing in our history. Did you know that it can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months or more for the average missionary to raise their financial support? The journey to the field is an arduous one. And for some missionaries, it goes by quicker than others. Other missionaries are waiting for the right prayer and financial partners to come alongside them and hold the rope for them as they go out to reach the lost. And so, would you consider praying for and maybe adopting an ABWE pre-field missionary, somebody that's already been commissioned and sent out from their local church, and the only thing keeping them from having a fruitful ministry on the field is simply their ability to get there? You can go to abwe.org/prefield and find a pre-field missionary, whether you just want to pray for them or whether the Lord would lead you to give to one of their ministries. Find one that you can support today at abwe.org/prefield.
Yeah, I can remember, you know, sitting in the Beijing International Fellowship and hearing a Korean pastor kind of explaining kind of the basics of the Back to Jerusalem movement, which is this idea that the gospel has gone westward, of course, not exclusively westward, but has continually spread, you know, from Jerusalem throughout Europe over to North and South America, to Korea, and wanting to see the gospel progress, continuing from Asia all the way back through the Muslim nations back to Jerusalem. Well, like, that, does it matter if the gospel spreads geographically that way? No, it doesn't. No one cares really about that, I wouldn't think. But it is, it helps us imagine spatially the progress of the gospel, kind of like what you were saying, kind of like those maps that show the expansion of Christendom. You know, it helps us imagine and see like what happened historically on a meta level, but also just watching that progress is so important. I think having accurate maps not only inspire us, but also give us direction. I was reading, you know, I love history, and I tend to read a lot of war history, and particularly Civil War stuff is interesting to me. Someone gave me a book on, it's called The Rebel Yell. It's a story of, it's the history of a biography of Stonewall Jackson. Super interesting.
I recently had a friend recommend this book to me, actually. I'm very interested.
Really well written, and pretty much anything by that author is well written. Because I read a book on the Comanches by him too that was really good. Yeah, very complicated person and very interesting stories, but there's like this highlight of one of the things that made him such a great general. He had a map maker that was with him that was one of the best map makers in all of what best cartographers in the whole war, and it gave him an advantage because even Virginia at that time wasn't very accurately mapped out, and he knew where to go and how to get there, and he got there faster than anybody else. And but in a crucial battle. For my nerd friends out there, the 7-day battle, he was given orders with bad instructions and he ended up in the wrong place and didn't know where he was. And his cartographer wasn't with him. And it gave him, he ended up in a swamp and he just couldn't get to where he needed to get in the timely manner he was supposed to get there. And that whole era is just full of those kind of stories of not knowing where you're going and what you're dealing with. And I think, you know, in a very practical kind of way, understanding even how the world is laid out and why things are the way they are. You see a little like a map showing the bunching of people in Eastern China. And you're thinking, you know, why don't they just spread out a little bit? Well, because it's all mountains and desert beyond that, you know, and there are people there that are isolated, but to reach them, you have to do different things than going to big cities on the East Coast of China, for instance. And so I, you know, it kind of brings up in my mind, like some maps I wish were created, you know, to help us conceptualize aspects of the gospel. I'll give a couple and then maybe you have a few, you know, like one, I think it would be very helpful to see, like you mentioned already, places where the gospel has been and what indigenous churches are already in those places. You know, I mean, it would look, the 1040 window would look differently if we knew, hey, there's remnant, you know, there is a Gaza Baptist church. Like Christians mm-hmm. don't think about there being a Baptist church in Gaza, but there is one and it's been there for a long time, you know, or the history of Christianity in places like Egypt and Ethiopia, you know, mm-hmm. The ancient Christian yeah. church, you know, in places, you know, like Libya, you know, where I think Libya is Libya or would it be Tunisia where Augustine was, you know, and seeing the places where Christianity has been and where it still exists, even pocket in, you know, surrounded by darkness, but there is still some light that is in those places.
Yeah, I resonate with all of that. Again, I want to think more optimistically. So even what some of the maps now will show you, whether it's allocation of missions resources or number of unreached or unengaged people groups, that's a snapshot of the world as it stands right now, which is fair enough. But we should think territorially and long-term about the expansion of Christ's kingdom. First of all, Christ in the Great Commission didn't say that all authority belongs to me only in the places where the gospel has been heard. In the places where it hasn't been heard, I'm not in charge yet. He doesn't mm-hmm. say that. All authority has been given to me. That's why I think mm-hmm. we instinctually gravitate to seeing these images of the globe, not just because it's, you know, fun to play with artistically or makes us feel important or as though we have perspective, but because Christ owns all of it, right? Abraham Kuyper, there's not a single square inch over which the risen Lord Christ does not shout mine, that it belongs to him. So I want to see that. I want to see places where maybe Christianity has been, maybe right now it's fallen on hard times, certainly the Middle East, much of the Islamic world comes to mind, but still those were once bastions of Christian faith. Again, I want to not just ignore, okay, the gospel's been preached here already in America, so it's not important here. You know, let's only focus on the 1040 window. No, let's think differently about the world in general. We shouldn't ignore the places where the foundation of Christ has already been laid. Mm-hmm. Those are the important places where we should now build upon that foundation. Yeah, we need people that are going to build afresh where the name of Christ hasn't yet been named. Romans 15, we need people with that particular aspiration, but that doesn't mean we still don't need other people to finish building the rest of the structure on top of that foundation. So I would want to make sure that we're depicting things kind of optimistically. That's just for me personally. Here's something else. You know, I love this imagery. I love the aesthetic of old maps. I've got one hanging over my desk at home. Beautiful kind of early modern, late medieval, early modern looking thing. And it's quite a nice piece for my office, which right now is torn apart with kids stuff everywhere. You know how that goes for those of you with young kids at home. In my office, though, at the office here at ABWE at work, I don't have a map. I have a landscape photo that's hand illustrated. Of course, it's a reproduction, but it's a hand illustrated version of the city of Philadelphia, the city of my birth, from early in the 20th century, which is fun to see. And and honestly, it looked a lot better 100 or 120 years ago than it does now, sadly. But what if, Scott, we didn't just display maps of the whole world? What if we had a map of our city or our state or our county? What if we thought locally? Now, this is the Missions Podcast. Of course, we want the overflow of all of that to be global thinking, but we don't want to just limit ourselves to global thinking. We should think really intently about owning the geography of our area. You know, in my office, I also have, from the last church that I served at, a drone level kind of bird's eye view of downtown York City. with these big words York superimposed on top of it. We had that same image blown up and plastered over, filling an entire wall like a mural in our church office. We wanted to own York. We believe in our calling to that context. You know, it's helpful to think big, but sometimes we really do have to narrow down. Maybe we need good visuals to support that mindset as well.
I think that's so helpful. My daughter, when I first moved out to California, the city we were ministering in before in Fremont, she got this like die cut wood map made of Fremont with our home at the center of that map. And it was inspirational to me. You know, I love that gift because, like you just said, it kind of made me think about the parameters of the place where God has put me and the people that I'm most responsible for in my ministry. And that's where I think that a good map can really help us think through that. In the presence of them, of that visual representation in front of us, I'm helped when I look and say, I mean, I just heard it's actually a government official, I believe, that made a comment about Iraq and Iran being allies. And it's like, well, no, they're definitely not allies.
No.
And why not? Well, because there's Sunnis and Shiites, you know, and it's seeing that like on a map of like, oh, these are the places where there's this tension, you know, and all of those things can help me think through the gospel need. When I think of the 1040 window, it's helpful to have that as opposed to nothing. But even more so to dive deeper and go, why are Libyan Muslims different than Saudi Arabians, you know, which are different than Gazans, which are different from the Hebrew people that are living in Israel, which are different than the Turks, you know, why are they different? And why should I be praying for them differently? And how could my mind be expanded to think through how the gospel can go into those places? And so I love it that missionaries love maps. I love maps. And let's just keep praying for more gospel nerds to help us think through these things clearer and better and more objectively.
Yeah. In fact, let's talk about that in the overtime, why we need more gospel nerds, whatever that is.
I love it.
It's you and me. I'm relying on you, Scott, to fill that with meaning for us. But I agree with you. You know, the maps typically show the geopolitical borders of the world. And that's important as well, but something that's not as easily seen are the different people groups and how those break down. So maybe some more maps showing those boundaries, they'd be a lot fuzzier, and there's a lot more of them than just geopolitical nation states as well. So ultimately in all of this, our prayer is that we see the world the way that God sees it, and that we feel the way that God feels about the world and about our little slice of it where we live and minister. But to do that, takes time and attention and research. And I think we're going to talk about that in our bonus segment on being gospel nerds together. And so join us at missionspodcast.com/premium to get access to that or get access in your Apple Podcast player. If you want to take your next steps in the Great Commission, go to abwe.org. And remember that the Missions Podcast is a ministry of ABWE. Now get more content at missionspodcast.com and write to us, alex@abwe.org, or alex@missionspodcast.com is how you can get a hold of us. And until our next conversation about missions, theology, and practice, go make disciples of all nations. Lord bless, and we'll see you in our next episode.